How do I cope with waiting for results?
It's all I can think about. Is the cancer going to come back?
I can't sleep. How do I stop worrying?
We know what goes through your head when you're living with cancer. The questions, the anxieties. We understand because we've been there too. If you or someone you care about has been diagnosed with cancer, Macmillan Cancer Support's online community can help from day one. It's a free, safe online forum for people with cancer to connect anonymously. No question is too big or too small. With over 80,000 members, we get it. We've been there. Whatever you need to ask, we're here. To join, search Macmillan Online Community.
Hey, podcast listeners. Have you heard? You can listen to your favorite podcasts ad-free. Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalogue of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.co.uk/adfreepodcasts. That's amazon.co.uk/adfreepodcasts to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, hello and welcome to the Watch What Crappens bonus episode. If you're listening to us, that means you support us on Patreon. So thank you very much for doing that. We appreciate it as always. I'm Ben. That's Ronnie. How you doing, Ronnie?
Good. Having a good day. What's going on with you over there?
Not much. Also having a good day. Today we decided to do a Below Deck Med on the bonus episode. Loving the season, not a lot left in it, and fingers crossed, Bree might actually learn how to do laundry by the final charter. Who knows? Dare to dream.
Maybe all I need to achieve my dream is to get Carlos.
Yes. So, I guess there's not much else to say. So why don't we dive into this latest episode from last night? It starts off with people getting ready for dinner and stuff like that, and there's a new stew on board. Carrie's her name. I almost forgot it there for a second. And Ellie is kind of spiraling because Ellie is really into hierarchy and she's really insecure about her place on the corporate yacht ladder and is afraid that Carrie is going to push her down.
Oh, for Christ's sake. Speaking what of push her down, there? Did you hear that? My
yes.
God, what's going on?
Were you just attacked? Did something just crash into your window?
Sounds like a freaking worker fight up there. Are you moving a body up there?
Ellie pushing Carrie down the stairs.
Like, and now you die. I've worked so hard to be second stew, and now I kill her.
So she's melting down, and Aisha is of course loving it, and I think she's kind of loving that Ellie's melting down too, because she just can't stop with the compliment. She's like, oh my god, you know how much pressure's alleviated having such an experienced extra stew. I mean, even a name is helpful. It's Carrie.
So Carrie's serving some cocktails at the bar, and Aisha's sitting in the crew mess eating food. And she's like, I mean, look at where I am right now. And Nathan's like, I know, period. If that's the first time I've seen you sit down all fucking season, it feels so nice.
Yeah, so she's getting a chance to eat or whatever. And then we cut to Bree and Ellie setting up upstairs, and there's some lights in the sky. And Bree's like,
whoa, hey, look at those things in the sky.
And he's like, yes, they are planes.
But look at them. They're such bright lights.
They're planes.
Maybe they are aliens. They're planes. I want to put a red on that one so I remember where it goes.
The alien's like,
we come in peace. Also, we cannot find our shirts.
Yeah, the aliens are like, I have the wrong pants.
Oh, I think I must have put them.
Yeah, these are not mine. These are alien pants. I need to find my captain pants. Why is that alien wearing white pants?
Why are my capris made out of some sort of a slimy skin? I don't really, you know, I tried to wear them anyway, and I cut them coming up the stairs, but then they healed themselves. It's crazy. Regenerative culottes.
craziest thing happened. An alien burst through the chest of one of our guests and it was wearing a red polo.
So then Joe,
did you say regenerative culottes? That is science fiction. That is scary.
Can't God, these things are better than polyester. God, they really are more advanced than us. So Joe is up working with Gail and he's like, did you put the harnesses on? She's like, yes. All right, let's talk. Come on. I don't want to upset you. I can see that you're mad. Hold on. Let me smile really fakely at you. Like, well, it's just you're being a prick, you know. Like, I don't know what your problem is with me. And he's like, I've got a problem with you. She goes, I try to put my head down. I try to do shit to make you happy. But sometimes you're a right prick is what you are. All right. And I realize I'm trying to make a guy happy and he's just going to be an ass to me.
But have I been an ass?
Well, call me princess here. And like, you know, you're doing it the doing it in a shit way. Like, you just turn around like you got to check on my work to make sure I'm working. And you think I get treated differently. And like, you think I don't work as much.
Because, no, that's not it. No, man, that's not it. What are you asking me on a date? That gets too much. It's too much right now.
Listen, all I wanted to tell you was, we've got to stop this. I can't keep this going. I know you asked me to put it out a rope and I said yes, but you know what? I'm not looking for a relationship right now. It's just hard being this handsome. Do you understand?
Well, tell me honestly, it's fine. I can take it. Like, if you don't think I'm waking off.
And he goes, no, well, you're trying to put words in my mouth here again. So let me speak. We've only got two chances left. Believe what you want to believe, but I know what I believe.
She goes, but you're going to be a prick to me. And no, I'm not going to give my time and day to it.
That is what you're saying. You are saying that she's a princess and you are saying that she doesn't work. You've said it multiple times to her and to us. Like, sorry, you can't even stand up for it once you're called out. Like, come on.
Yeah. Come on, and then he starts to gaslight her. He's like,
oh, there's probably paranoia on your side. I'm not like that one bit. Have I ever raised my voice or anything like you?
And she's like, no, but you've been a prick. You don't have to raise your voice to be a prick to someone, by the way.
Yeah, and she's like, words don't trigger me. Intentions trigger me. He thinks I'm not a team player or that I'm getting special treatment, and that's not the case. So don't characterize me like that. Don't act like you know me, because you obviously don't.
I was like, yes.
Yeah.
I love her little, girl power finger wave. I was like, you go. Take him down.
He's such a dick. And, you know, he was humiliated and sort of, like, semi-demoted by Captain Sandy, who basically was like, okay, Nathan's in charge of docking now. And so he's getting out his power play here. And on top of that, he's also jealous that Nathan is with Gail. You know, that Gail is competing with Joe for Nathan's attention. This guy's a total fucking dickwad.
Yeah, he is. So he's like, come on, give me a hug now. And then he tells us he's just trying to do a good job, but I can feel the heat rising, so I just wanted to calm it down. I don't hold a grudge, and I'm hoping she doesn't hold a grudge. I love when the people who do shit wrong are the ones who don't hold a grudge.
Yeah. Like, he doesn't hold a grudge.
What would you hold a grudge about? Being an asshole?
Exactly. And now watch him go talk to Nathan in a few scenes about, like, oh, how Gail is so crazy. He doesn't hold a grudge, though. So, Carrie is helping out a guest, and then Aisha is loving the way the table is looking and everything, and Aisha's asking Carrie what she's up to, and, you know, they're gonna set up like a dance party and stuff, and Aisha's telling us Carrie is a yachty, you know, she's coming, she you know, she's quick and she's efficient and she's, you know, urgent, period, and I really wish the other girls would take a leaf out of that book and stop worrying so goddamn much about how much power she has.
We
just cut to Ellie playing with two Barbies.
You are chief stool. You need to listen to me. I will not listen to you. Laundry.
Turned off Barbie heads. And cuts back to Aisha serving wine to the guests. And one of them's like, can I get an entire bar on my lap? That would be great. I'm from Ohio.
Looks just like this. So Carrie and Ellie are like working to set something up, like some decorations or something like that. And Carrie's making some suggestions about putting something on the ceiling. And I was like,
no, it is always safer to put everything close to the walls just in case a breeze to come through. In fact, if there is a breeze, maybe you should stand by a railing. And if you happen to blow overboard, then so be it.
Make it tall in the middle because it needs to go like this. And Carrie's like, I'm sensing that Ellie's trying to prove her authority, and I'm not here to take her job. I'm just here to help. I mean, you go, girl. You're doing great, little one. Pat on the head.
Yeah, Ellie is on like a power trip about how to hang like a little like stream, like a sign that says like happy birthday.
Yeah, I love Carrie's reaction. She's like, you go. Good job, little buddy.
So Jono, you know, he's deflated from, you know, his last charter. You know, when he served something that would kill someone and then for dessert put a cookie on top of a cake. He's feeling a little deflated from that.
Cookie cake deflation. So he's like, you know, mistakes that I've gone through and I've figured how to bounce back. So that's good. I'm going to be a phoenix rising from the ashes. A phoenix who comes up from the ashes and pops its pussy.
My phoenix would be very demure, very mindful. And so,
oh my god, does, I can't with the demure and mindful.
I think it's already over.
Thank god, enough. I mean, great job, person who did it, but enough, please just leave me alone. And then someone trademarked it, so that queen didn't even get the money from it. Guys.
She did eventually, though. It worked out. I heard that it actually worked out. She got it. So, yeah. Happy endings. So Aisha, so they're serving dinner. And by the way, it does look very nice. I was like, wow, Jono did turn around. Maybe he finally Googled what is a fancy looking plate. And he did it. So it looks good. Everyone loved it.
I learned it,
Everyone's happy.
Somebody's grandmother.
Cardi B's. Cardi B's grandmother specifically.
Remember when that was his thing?
Yeah.
They're like, well, have you ever made food, Italian food? He's like, I learned it from a grandmother on YouTube.
Wasn't that his gazpacho or something? He's like, some grandmother. Someone in Athens. You know what's funny? I actually made a Greek chicken last night. It just occurred to me. Opa.
That like is literally hilarious.
That is like honestly the funniest anecdote I could have told right now. It is literally hilarious. Let's all take a moment to think about it.
How was it?
Delicious.
What's
from
the
Chef
difference
John.
Between a chicken and a Greek chicken? Actually, now that tell me.
Well, a regular chicken speaks English, and a Greek chicken has big sunglasses on it. Solid.
It was hard to eat through all the broken glass, but I got through it.
Greek chicken. Greek chicken is just like just a really intense marinade of like lemon juice and oregano and vinegar. It's just like a really, you've had it probably a million times. It's so good.
Delicious.
I felt like Angie K up there at my grill, you know, also because I put on a wig like Cher. So
I am Greek. So Joe is now talking to Nathan and he's like, I had a word with Gail. She hates me, you know. She said I'm a proper prick. Huh. Yeah, sometimes I take the piss out calling her a princess about lines and stuff like that. Just something to joke about. Because, like, I mean, I just don't know what she's got against me. What could it possibly be? Would you like to make out right now? Would you like to finger blast me?
Here it is. The classic thing of like, hey, you can tell. Listen, Gail. I'm so, like, what's going on? You can always share with me anything. I'm so glad we talked this out. Yeah, this is totally squashed. Oh, my God. Gail over there. God, she's such a sensitive woman. Like, I just try to joke with her. She can't even take a joke. Women are so serious. Am I right? This is that. That's like, shut the fuck up, Joe. Like you can't do that. You can't have your conversation. And then you go to her boyfriend. And then you basically like, wow, crazy over there, right? You can't even make a joke. God, she's. I can't believe we even have her on the deck team.
So he's like, you're her boyfriend. Start it out. And Nathan's like, I'm not her boyfriend, bro. I don't even know what's going on. I just need space for a while there, all right? And basically, he won't do anything. He just wants to sit there with a cute little smile and not really get involved. And I think this is not great moves from Nathan. I mean, I don't know that Gail necessarily needs him to go white cape it, and I'm not saying that he needs to do that for her, but it would be nice to see him be like, yeah, you're being a fucking asshole. Like, just calm down, you know?
Yeah. Sandy, meanwhile, goes and checks on the guests who were up on the deck, and she's like, oh, wow, hey, it's a party up here. Wow, this is, you know what we call parties? Social events that Norm has never been invited to. Am I right? High five. High five, Ohio.
So then Jono serves and he's like, your last course is pistachio crushed lamb. I hope you guys enjoy it. And they're like, oh my God, we don't have anything like this in Ohio. Ohio.
And then there's a nighttime delivery to the boat. One of the deliveries is an inflatable toy for tomorrow's, guess against crew Olympics. But what else arrives?
Color beads for Brie.
So at long last, with only 1.5 charters left, her organizational system has made it to the boat.
Here we've finally got some color beads coming for Brie. So we find out that these basics are doing silent disco, which I know this was kind of probably planned by the boat, but of course these people are doing silent disco. It's just so this group of people.
Production,
I know
normally
that we hate people for being too mean and these people are too nice, but I need a middle ground because you guys are killing me here with your fucking silent disco. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say their silent disco is basically them being like, hey, holding their hands on their ears. Hey, whoa, whoa, whoa.
That's Kim Zolciak. Kim Zolciak literally sings like a silent disco. She actually went to a silent disco with you, right?
Like, yeah,
15 years ago, you had your birthday party at one.
It was awful. I had a birthday party. I booked the Paddle House Hotel. I booked this room. I was like, can I have my birthday party here on Saturday night? Like, sure. So I went and they're like, oh, by the way, it's also going to be a silent disco, which meant that there was no music playing. It was just like a silent room with strange people in headphones dancing around. And then the local news came because they're like, silent disco in Los Angeles. So they turned on all the lights for the local news. So it was like bright lights, no sound. And people were milling around. I saw so many people walk in and walk out. And I was like, this is a disaster. I will never forgive silent
disco.
That was
so crazy. And I didn't really know you very well at that time.
No.
That was like the first birthday party I'd ever gone to of yours. And I didn't know anybody there. But I walked in and just saw all these weird LA zombies just standing there swaying back and forth with their hands in the air, like mouthing words. And I was like, what? Who is this person? What am I doing here?
My friend, someone came and I think they brought, if I remember correctly, I think they brought Alison Brie. And I just remember they came and they're like, huh. And they left. I was like, a celebrity has left. I was like, I almost had a celebrity at my party.
I've lost Alison Brie.
She's damn a celebrity and a disco. Cheese.
I'll never forgive you, silent disco.
Yeah, it was terrible. Terrible.
So then Joe and Carrie flirt. Carrie is doing some steaming or something in the laundry. And Joe goes like, boo, and runs away. And she's like, was that you? And he's like, oh, God, we've really got something. She's really showing signs of interest now. Yeah, you're a real stud there. Peekaboo. Who knew?
Yeah, I don't know if like startling someone and slamming the door on the room that they're in and then them opening the door and being like, was that you? Is a sign of interest. But sure, if that's what you need, you take it, sweetheart.
100%. What a fucking weirdo. So he's just trying his newest angle. You know what I mean? So he can't give. He's already given the ick to two women. You know, it's like he's just trying to up his ick percentage. Mm. So then,
Crane, Gail, if you will. Don't mind me today. Just keep going. Don't listen.
No, I didn't mean to overtalk you. No, I want to hear what you say.
I'm deranged. I have had so much coffee this morning that I'm just saying random shit at this point. Silent discos, Greek chicken, Ichabod Crane. Let's just, whatever.
Yeah. Well, today was also our two teas in a pod thing. So we just did kind of two shows before this, which I guess we should talk about at some point. So let's see here. Joe, what's happening? Okay. So Gail and Jono talk about how he's going to go on vacation and meet his boo after this. Mm-hmm. And Gail's like, yeah, I might go to Prague with Nathan. I mean, it's not fully planned, but we're in talks.
Dun, dun, dun. Dark storm like clouds corporate merger. Ahead.
We're in talks to go to Prague.
We're in talks. Like, well, she knows. It's like she's seen Below Deck and she knows. Like, he seems like he's nice, but he's probably going to be a douchebag any minute now. So hopefully we make it to Prague. But let's see. We're on Below Deck time.
So H is checking on Carrie. Your cabins are done, all that good stuff. And then Ellie's cleaning up dinner. And the guests are dancing. They want tequila shots and everything. And so Carrie is, there's a thing. Ellie is at the bar and she's like doing dishes. And Carrie goes in to like get some shots or drinks for the guests. And Ellie's like, oh, by the way. Because when she's really mad, her voice gets really high. When she hates someone, she's like, oh, by the way, thank you so much. So she's like, oh, do you mind if you do dishes and I do a service? And Carrie's like, sure. And like, do you want to do these now? So they basically swap. And Ellie's like, I was under the impression that we needed someone to just help with the odd jobs like housekeeping, laundry, pestering Bree. But now I start to feel like, dang, have I been the weak link on the team? Questionable! You do it better than I do. I can't do it.
Because I feel like I was actually carrying the team the whole season. So,
yeah, but you also just completely disobeyed a direct order, which was, I want Carrie to be on service and Ellie not to be on service. You just completely went around that and reassigned. So she's like, I just don't understand. I just don't. Parents just don't. Aisha just don't understand. Am I right?
When you call Uber, do you call Uber and expect Hugo? Or do you get Lamborghini? Which is funny because Hugo would actually also be applying to me, considering where I'm from. But I'm Lamborghini in this case.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
I'm Dan Taberski. In 2011, something strange began to happen at the high school in Leroy, New York.
I was like at my locker and she came up to me and she was like stuttering super bad. I'm like, stop f***ing around. She's like, I can't.
A mystery illness, bizarre symptoms, and spreading fast.
It's like doubling and tripling and it's all these girls.
With a diagnosis, the state tried to keep on the down low.
Everybody thought I was holding something back.
Well, you were holding something back intentionally.
Yeah.
No, it's hysteria. It's all in your head. It's not physical. You're exaggerating.
Is this the largest mass hysteria since the witches of Salem? Or is it something else entirely?
Something's wrong here. Something's not right.
Leroy was the new Dateline, and everyone was trying to solve the murder.
A new limited series from Wondery and Pineapple Street Studios. Hysterical. Follow Hysterical on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Hysterical early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
What's up, guys? It's your girl Kiki, and my podcast is back with a new season. And let me tell you, it's so good. And I'm diving into the brains of entertainment's best and brightest, okay? Every episode, I bring on a friend. I mean, the likes of Amy Poehler, Kel Mitchell, Vivica Fox, the list goes on. So follow, watch, and listen to Baby, This is Kiki Palmer on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So Carrie's like, I know what drama does to an interior team, and I've seen it, and I'm definitely not here to cause it.
So she's like, I'll just do laundry. What the fuck do I care? So she does it. And then it's the next day. And then Sandy comes in to Bree and she's like, Bree, I got a present for you. Color beads for laundry. She's like, oh my God, thank you so much. No, those aren't to put up your nose. Why are you putting those up here?
Oh, it's just that sometimes I like to smell it. Oh, I got one stuck in my nose.
Oh gosh, she told you not to put those up your nose, you silly. All right, come here. I'm going to give you the Heimlich.
Okay, so Bree, take these color beads and use them well. Hey, where did they go?
I already lost them. Could you get me new color beads, please? I put them in the microwave.
Did you iron the color beads?
I did.
Dang it, Bree. Dang it.
Back in school, I use colors. And I like my study notes and then something that helped me learn and remember. And I wish that maybe I implement this system earlier in the season. Probably would have helped me get through everything a lot easier with far few bumps. Like in future, I would know. Big red bead on Joe. Stay away.
So then everybody is setting up for these big games. My least favorite thing on Below Deck.
That's after dates, after below deck dates.
Below deck dates are terrible, but the awkwardness and forced nature of them are kind of fun. I mean, at least comparatively, because this is just, and also making the staff swim in their clothes. I mean, I know they're like wet clothes technically, but I don't know, it hurts my feelings. So then Joe's like, I've never really run an obstacle course myself. That's usually what I use vaginas for. I just place one here, there, run under one, run around one, and dive straight into the other.
Yeah, and so then he does a whole thing. I can't, honestly.
Yeah, let's just get
I don't want this part. To I don't want to indulge this. I don't want to support this behavior on Below Deck. So there is a
we do see Joe kind of crash out, which is kind of fun. And then Aisha is super competitive and knocks one of the guests off of a pylon or something. So that's her big thing. She's like, I'm so competitive.
And then meanwhile, Aisha radios for Carrie and Bree to start running service and tells Ellie to go for a break. And Ellie is like upset. She's like, Ellie does not want to go on break. Basically, Ellie likes to be in front of guests. Like, that's what she gets off on. That's why she brings all these costumes on board. Like, this is her favorite thing. And she's like, no, Carrie taking spotlight from me, especially in work environment, is definitely a bit hurtful. And I'm just, like, tossed to the sidelines. I don't understand why, especially on Asia's part. You put Lamborghini at the side of the road? No, Lamborghini center lane.
It makes me not even care. Period. I don't want to prove myself to these people anymore. It's very insensitive towards me, the way I was asked to not do service.
The way I was given the grace of having a break, the way that I don't have such stressful days relying only on Bree because someone else comes to help us, it's very insensitive towards Lamborghini.
What am I, is Lamborghini not supposed to take a nap? I mean, come on, now I have time for a nap.
Ridiculous. What, you want to put gasoline in Lamborghini? Why don't you let the see what the Lamborghini can do without the gas first?
Yeah, so she's kind of spinning out. And then lunch is served, and it's tempura broccoli and lobster salad. And so Aisha is like, JoJo's what I call a yo-yo performer. He's basically up here, and then he goes down, and then he gets stuck to the floor because he's done the splits during a twerk. So then I lift him up, and he goes straight back up again. I never want to see that twerk again. Honestly, it's uncomfortable. What were we talking about? Who would want broccoli tempura?
Dun, dun, dun. And now a special NBC presentation of Wind.
God.
Whoa.
Oh my God, thank God I remembered to pay my Peacock bill so I can still get Wind on my screen.
God, you know, in this age of streaming and video on demand, it's nice to know there still can be a television special. Wow. Wow. I'm sitting on, the wind is really blowing. Is it sweeps? What's going on? 30 knots. Wow, that's not good.
They got Connie Selica in here. This is a big one. Guys, crew, we're heading back to port. Connie Selica has entered Wind. That's it. We're done.
Talk about stunt casting. Oh, God. Everyone, we got to go back to port. Too much. Too much wind. Too much Selica.
So then the team brings in the water toys. And then Carrie is like, I'm going to go see how Ellie's doing. She likes to do it all by herself all the time. I don't want to say this, but last night I almost died. Because last night she was like, well, let me do the drinks. Mm-hmm. And Aisha's like,
I feel so grateful and happy that Carrie is here because it takes the pressure off of me and my team. And I need us to be a cohesive team. And I feel like Ellie is making things less efficient so she can maintain her status for her ego.
And I like that she's like, yeah, I like Carrie because she's zero drama and she actually knows what she's doing. And then it cuts to Carrie just like steaming and like cleaning everything really fast. Like, boom, a bed's made. It's like, boom, all the silverware is polished. She's like magical. She's like Mary Poppins cleaning up a playroom.
Jono's talking still again about how he lost his mojo, but he's going to get it back. He's like, I just need to step it up. Like, yes, bitch. So then Ellie, meanwhile, is just still charmed by Joe. She's just giggling at everything he's saying in the crew mess. She's like, I don't know what it is about Joe. He just keeps sucking me back in. I know it's not good for me, but it's like Lamborghini driving on dirt roads. Sometimes you have to do it.
So then it's time to dock. Dun, dun, dun. And Ian's like, docking at nighttime is different than docking in the day because... it's nighttime.
Producers are like, I'm like, we don't see a lot of Ian on the show. And I'm like, this is why the producers are like, this fucking guy can't even give us a good interview. So they dock successfully. He manages to do it without taking a nap in the middle of it.
That's pretty impressive. I was like, he must be starving to death. He has not had one snack during this entire docking.
No. So now Sandy goes, hey, everyone. How's dinner going? And like, Jono is top notch. They love Jono. Sandy's very happy. And Aisha's really happy. She does her coordinated serving thing, you know, where they do the little, like, it's almost like Riverdance, but with serving plates. They all put a plate down at once, then do another plate all at once. And she's really happy because now she can, with the fourth stew, she can finally do, like, high-end service.
Yeah. And that's very exciting. And she's like, oh, listen, I just wanted to say congratulations on everyone on your anniversaries. I mean, to have one basic marriage is one thing, but to have six basic people, you're like an entire IKEA store. Congratulations.
So down in the crew mess, Gail asked Joe if she can go into the cabin to cuddle with Nathan. And he's like, yeah, sure, whatever. And she basically tells us, like, yeah, it's been a bit of an emotional roller coaster with Joe. And there's like some fake niceness that they're just kind of pretending to be nice to each other just to get to the end of the season, you know. But essentially, like, there's tension still.
Yeah. So Carrie's like, oh, Joe is my cheeky weeky boy. He's easy to get along with. I take better one step too far, apparently, so maybe it's problematic, but I'll fuck him right now. Fuck him right now. Fuck him real good.
But Carrie's then, just like, yeah, I flirt, you know, and I do take it. I will go there, basically, you know.
And then Nathan's doing his thing where, you know, he's in the interview. He has his, like, hands on his knees, as usual, you can tell. He's like, I feel like this situation would be good for Joe, as he's new to lead deckhand role. But I've never been in a situation where one of my friends don't like the girl I've been dating. I just want to keep them both as friends. I don't know if I can do that. I'm like, could you stop bobbing your head back and forth? Like,
he really does still. Do that. He's like a little boy on a boat, like on a boat that's on its way to America. He's just like so excited to see it. Or they're on the way to the Statue of Liberty. He's just like, wow, look at that. It's so amazing. Why does that lady have her arm up? I want to smell it.
You ever feel tired in your
poor. Like every little boy thinks.
Yeah, that's pretty standard universal experience. So it's the last thing.
I want to smell the armpits of the Statue of Liberty.
I can't wait. I hope I get close enough to smell it.
No, my great-great-grandfather said that when he came to this country from Eastern Europe. He's like, ah, I want to be in America. I want to smell the armpits of a Statue of Liberty. So I guess that's more of a song about Puerto Rico, but kind of Puerto Rican, but that's fine. I mix it all together.
You know,
there's no smelly armpits in America. There we go.
Okay, so then Nathan is, what are we talking about? Okay,
it's the left.
So Sandy is checking in on laundry. She's like, whoa, whoa, Bree, spoiler alert. Connie Seliger died in a windstorm. Sorry, oh, no. I had to tell somebody. So how's it going with laundry?
It is so nice. It made, you know, the beads made laundry kind of fun. Thank you, Cap.
Because basically, Brie before was writing people's names on their shirts. So that way, theoretically, you would look at a shirt and see someone's name and know that the shirt belonged to that person's name. But now, instead of writing someone's name, she puts a bead on that shirt of a color. And then she looks at the color. And then she looks at a poster on the wall. And the color is linked to someone's name. And when she sees that name, she knows that that color... Then she can look back at her shirt and that color belongs to that person's name. So it's clearly a much easier process.
It's just, you know, the important thing was to simplify.
The thing is, rather than see, oh, this shirt belongs to Joe, now she knows this shirt belongs to Orange and Orange belongs to Joe and Joe belongs to Orange and therefore Orange equals Joe and this shirt is Joe's.
Yeah. So, you know, hey, whatever works for you.
You know,
that's
the truth.
Like some kind of a learning thing where you, yeah, like some people, I mean, everybody learns different. My sister teaches to children with learning disabilities, and she's really, really good at it. Like she can get her brain to work in all these different ways. And she was showing me the different kinds of math they do. And I was like, how in the fuck is this supposed to be easier? And she's like, well, now how it works is you use logic in math. And, you know, math isn't all so scientific. It's not so, you know, rote. It's not just memorization, it's logic. And I'm like, no, I will not do this.
Yeah.
She keeps showing me how to do it. My brain will not work how to do it. I think it's harder, but it's actually much easier for people who need to be taught in a different ways. It's really fascinating how the brain works. Am I right?
I know. I really shouldn't shame it. It's just, it's, you know, because obviously
shame.
Sometimes you do need an association. It's to me, it is kind of funny how the brain works that way. It's like, oh, if you just put the name on it, you would think that would be the clearest indication of who that shirt belongs to. But it's like, oh, sometimes you actually do need something like a color bead to like connect that dot. But we'll see if it actually works for Brie, because I have to say the jury's still out, and we don't really know by the end of this episode if the beads work. There's a part of me that secretly wants them to not work. I just want her to be just fail at laundry every single charter.
Yeah. So Ellie is in laundry. And she's like, oh, no, she's doing cabins with Carrie. And she's like,
okay, we will fold it. So we put the blanket over there, and then we flattened like this. Pillow, 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 flattened. Do you see? This is basically what everybody on this boat is doing to my spirit. Flatten, flatten, flatten.
Bueller's unmoved. Have I flattened you, Dad?
Are you flat now?
Dog. Flat dog.
So, Ellie, the question. Do you have a boyfriend in Fort Lauderdale? Anyone on board for you or no?
And she's like, oh, well, except for Nathan and Gail, no one's really seen each other. Unfortunately, Brie and I, we had like a bunch of tension because all caused by Joe. Because like we made out, you know, we had like kiss. But he was, you know, he was leading her on and leading me on. And it's hard to be upset with him because he's such a sweetheart. He's mine. He's mine. Don't touch him. Don't.
You get away. I put red bead on him and look what I'm wearing. Red bead.
Lamborghini and Ferrari go together. Ferrari does not go with Toyota Camry, which is you.
And Carrie's like, oh, he's cute. He's a sweetheart. I'll tell you that much. And she's like, oh, I do care about him, I must say.
Dun, dun, dun. Storms are brewing.
Watch out.
All over for Joe. I mean, this show kills me. I've never seen mediocre men win harder than on, well, The Bachelor. They really win on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. Especially The Bachelorette. You want to see
and Southern Charm.
Mediocre men. Oh, my God. Southern Charm. They don't even get to mediocre. I mean, those guys are just, they're below average. I would say this is the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're wealthy. Well, actually, only Shep is. The rest just pretend.
So, okay, everyone, time for a tip meeting because the guests actually already left. We didn't mention that, but they're gone.
They're gone.
More Ohio, they more just like left Ohio. And they said, well,
Ohio. Ohio, Ohio. Oh, go now, oh. Yeah. But they left and he stepped off the deck and he said, wow, we're not in Ohio anymore.
They said, can't wait to go home and see what Connie Salica's up to. And I was like, oh, God, I guess they didn't see the latest episode of Wind. Too bad.
Gosh, hope the DVR took care of that one.
No spoilers.
Badge is waiting for him. Yeah.
No spoilers. Or as Norma calls it, no my refrigerator. It's spoiled in there. It's gross.
So then she's like, wow, Charter 8, can you believe we're almost finished? That is crazy. And he's like, time flies when you're having fun.
Or napping through the entire season. But, you know, that's fine. Hey, you guys did a great job with the toys, interior. I'm glad. Hey, Brie, I'm glad we got some colors for you. Let's see how that works out. She's like, thanks, Cap. It should be no problem. Okay. I do notice that you are wearing Joe's shirt right now, though. So maybe the color system is going to kick in for the next charter, huh?
Docking is different at night than it is in the day, because it's night.
Okay. So you guys all seem like you're pretty much exhausted because you're all seeing gobbledygook. Okay, Carrie. Carrie, you make me smile.
That makes me smile.
And that makes me smile. Look, I just smiled even bigger because you're smiling at me.
Now I'm smiling. I'm smiling even bigger than that because you made me smile.
I'm smiling bigger. Okay, biggest smile I've ever had in my life.
I just steamed your shirt while you're wearing it.
Hey, Ellie, why are you stabbing the sofa? What's going on over there?
Die! Orange bead!
Ellie, thank you for your table decor. It was so wonderful.
Thank you so much. I would like to thank my agent, OnlyFan. I would like to thank my brother, Ernest. Everybody, thank you so much. I accept the award.
Yeah, your decor is amazing. I can only imagine how it'll be even better once Carrie does it. Chef, thank you for killing it. Thank you for not serving a cookie on top of the cake and not putting any cardamom in rice. That's great. You did a great job. Clients are happy. Okay. Now, who wants to know how much money we made? $20,000. That's $1,300 per person. You guys, group hug.
Guys, don't act surprised. They're from Ohio.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about my love bee story. Wow. I'm so nervous about Leah coming. I'm shaking on the inside. Oh, look at me. Shaking like a little leaf. Okay, carry on. I'm done now. I'm going to go watch Wind.
Right, so it's the Carrie. It's the last charter, and I want to fucking smash it. How's it going? What's been happening? What's the 411?
And Ellie's like, well, Ellie's been trying to hurry me along about what to do, like, efforts-wise and cabins, and, like, if I came from you, fine, but please don't tell me to do it unless it's coming from you, or it's whatever, whatever. If it's coming from Ellie, it's whatever. And she's like, what are you talking about? What is she telling you? Well, she told me that she should do service, and I should do the other stuff. That was my most disconcerting.
I'm just going to remind her the only time she should be telling you what to do is when I'm on break or I'm taking a massive poo.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Welcome to The Offensive Line. You guys, on this podcast, we're going to make some picks, talk some shit, and hopefully make you some money in the process. I'm your host, Annie Hagar. So here's how this show's going to work, okay? We're going to run through the weekly slate of NFL and college football matchups, breaking them down into very serious categories like no offense. No offense, Travis Kelce, but you got to step up your game if Pat Mahomes is saying the Chiefs need to have more fun this year. We're also handing out a series of awards and making picks for the top storylines surrounding the world of football. Awards like the He May Have a Point Award for the wide receiver that's most justifiably bitter. Is it Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins, or Devontae Adams? Plus, on Thursdays, we're doing an exclusive bonus episode on Wondery Plus, where I share my fantasy football picks ahead of Thursday Night Football and the weekend's matchups. Your fantasy league is as good as locked in. Follow The Offensive Line on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can access bonus episodes and listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Okay, Charter 9, preference sheet meeting. You know what I would prefer? To have Leah by my side for the rest of my life. Okay, someone make that happen. Okay, so Charter 9, we've got Stacey Jennings and her husband, Brad Driver. Okay, did she marry a driver? Is he a baby? Is it a baby driver? Who marries babies? Am I right? Guys, let's make some change in this world. Okay, good meeting.
You know what I love about Stacey Jennings? Is that she's actually here. I love that you're being sassy like that, Sandy. You know, I've done a charter for them. They're such a lovely couples. Yes.
Oh, you're right. I'm so sorry about that. You know what? Let's take a look at the picture of these guests. Yes. Oh, yeah, they're horrifying. I hate them. I hope they die. Okay, what are we going to prepare? Jono, prepare shellfish for these people. Raw, okay? Let's just hope that allergy was contagious. Jeez.
I'm like, if they bring on that guy, we see a clip of the guests, and there's that like tall gay guy who's now been on like 3 times. He keeps on coming back on Below Deck, and he's like a monster every single time. I'm like, if they bring him back again, like, I don't even know what to do with myself. Too much.
Yeah, he's the worst. So he's coming again, that thirst trap. So then they go over their preferences, blah, blah, blah. They're going to have drag queens because, guys, they're gay. Gay people love drag queens. That's all we do, really. It's like drag queens. Just drag all the time. That's all we do.
What if they just get Nia Vardalos playing a drag queen like she did in that movie where she went undercover as a drag queen? They are in Grease, after all. There was a movie where it wasn't Deborah Messing. Let's see. There was some movie where she played a drag queen. It was like she was hiding as a drag queen. She was pretending to be a man, pretending to be a woman, basically.
Oh. Wow. So it was very like Victor Victoria. It was like Nia Dardolio.
It was called Connie and Carla. And it was Nia Vardalos and Toni Collette and David Duchovny. I don't know why it didn't do well, but
I don't know. Sounds like a banger.
Sounds like a great movie.
Sounds like a real banger. So, I have to watch that. Thanks a lot. I mean, there's a Nia Vardalos jam that I've missed. Guys,
yeah,
come on.
My big fat Greek drag queen.
They're gay. Let's get drag queens for them. Does anybody have anything that they can interior decorate? Can we have an interior decorating night? Or maybe something where they can sew a dress for somebody?
So now everyone's getting ready to go out, and Aisha sees Gail, and she's like, oh, Gail, are you excited about travel time with Nathan, which he may certainly will have, and he definitely will not make other plans with someone else, and definitely not Joe.
And basically, Gail's like, well, you know, guys are only not douchebags until they're douchebags, right? And she's like, Nathan's not like that. And she's like, well, I don't think he is either, but dun, dun, dun. And then she gives us a little monologue, the monologue of doom, where she's like,
I grew up very, you have to look out for your people and have each other's backs. And I feel like it's something I didn't get in my relationship. And I just kind of want that. And I want that now, And I kind of see that in Nathan. Like, he's just looking out for me in ways that I wish my ex would have looked out for me. And I don't know. It just speaks volumes to me, Just the way he's just always thinking about my feelings.
I was like, oh, no.
Oh, girl.
Knock on wood, girl. Knock on some wood, girl.
Yeah. Then meanwhile, Joe is having his own moment. He's getting really excited about Carrie. He's like, the more I get to know Carrie, the more cooler she is. A good sense of humor is important. Don't want a stuck-up girl like someone we know on board. And they show Ellie. And I don't want someone, a tiptoe girl like another girl we know on board. And they show Bree. But this girl, she's got talk. She's got the walk. She's quite funny. Grandpappy would be happy.
He's so gross. So he's like hitting on her. He's like, your laugh is the cutest thing. And then Ellie sees this and she's like, it is hard for me to fault Carrie on anything except stealing my life.
She's here trying to do good job. She's like Subaru trying to drive fast like Lamborghini. And I'm mainly being triggered by Aisha. Her behavior towards me. I've been like her player this entire season. So like, why would you risk burning a bridge with me over a random person that just got theater yesterday?
You're worried about your boss burning a bridge with you. How about you're worried about you burning a bridge with your boss? Excuse you.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So then Joe shows up to the club in like a sweatshirt. And so Ellie's like, you should probably get a t-shirt from the gift shop because you're ridiculous. So he does. And then he comes back.
He buys it off of a person, doesn't he? He like literally buys the shirt off of someone's back.
Oh, I thought he went to like the little kiosk and was like, I'll take a shirt.
That's what I thought. But I think he actually went up. Well, maybe.
He went to a person. Right. That's funny.
No, maybe you're right. Maybe he went to a kiosk. That makes much more sense. Because I was like, what about the other guy? Where's his shirt? Did he take Joe's shirt?
But I don't know, but it seems like a lot of people on this show, even the extras, work out. So maybe it's like, can I have your shirt? Oh, it only lasts me twice, buddy. Showing off their boobies.
Is that his own shirt? Is that his own shirt?
I went to West Hollywood. I went to West Hollywood the other night, and I was still, I don't know, every time I'm like right in the middle of gay. And by the way, I lived in West Hollywood 10 years. I was like out four nights a week, but I'm still shocked going out in West Hollywood at just how bold everyone is and shirtless at all times. It's just like, yeah. Guys walking across the street, they'll be like, yeah, I'm just gonna take off my shirt. I don't even do that at home. I don't even do that in the shower. It's crazy and the stripper was just standing up there. They have to make no effort because the gay guys are also hot. No one has to pay attention to the stripper because like everyone works out, and yeah. The stripper literally just was standing there stretching out and watching TV. Literally didn't even move. And then, like, jiggled his butt a couple of times. And then literally just kept stretching. And I guess his back was hurt. He was, like, scratching his back and watching the TV. It's like, I love it here. And I'm still not ever going to do a push-up. I don't know what the point of that story was, but good for you people who make an effort.
Yeah.
You can't do it. Hurts my feelings.
See, they didn't even worry about buying it. I think your point is they don't worry about buying a shirt. They just take off the shirt. And
right. They're all the guy that would sell you their shirt because they're all looking for an excuse to take it off, Thank you, Ben. Thank you so much.
I got you. So now Ellie's having a real crisis this evening. She's having an existential crisis. Like, why would Aisha want to burn a bridge with me? Why would Joe not want to do this? Why not me? So she's like, I've had it with Joe. Because basically she's flirting with Joe. He goes off to get the new shirt. What are you doing over there? You're on mute. I just look up and Ronnie's just like rotating his head like he's being fanned.
Fanning myself, girl. Keep going.
So Ellie is dancing with Joe. He goes off to... This is a real crap is on demand treat, everyone. Watching Ronnie fan himself. It's almost...
Girl, so high.
He's like, ooh, sensual story. Tell me more.
Tell me all about the betrayal of Aisha.
So he goes off to buy this shirt. But when he comes back, he starts talking to Carrie. He just... ignores Ellie. He uses it as an excuse to get away from Ellie. So she's like, I've had it with Joe because he's not even choosing women based on who he's attracted to. He's just choose the person that gives him the most attention because no man in his right mind would turn down an incredible night with me. It's like, come on, people pay money to drive Lamborghini and I'm giving it for free.
Oh, man, I wish I had that. They need to learn how to bottle that self-confidence, kids. It is just amazing. No man denies me. I love that. So yeah, Bree,
I actually really like that, too.
And Bree's like,
you are too gorgeous to be worried about such a prawn. Please don't worry about it.
He's been doing this whole season. He's like embarrassing to me.
I don't know why I went there again, because he's just going to keep doing him.
And Bree's like,
I can imagine Ellie is feeling fire inside because I was there. But the more I'm in these situations, the more I learn how to do it in a mature way. Joe, please give me back the bead I gave you. We are no longer blue together. You are blue alone now.
Okay, now come into bathroom stall with me.
So Carrie is like, Carrie's talking to Joe, and she's like,
tell me something about you. Actually, can I tell you what I do know? That Ellie told me today that she was just like, oh, not Joe. I was a bit upset. I was like, no, not you. And Joe's like, oh, did we have kids on a drunken night? Yes. Did we have a kiss on a drunken night?
That would have been something. That would be a storyline I wouldn't even be surprised at on Below Deck. Ah, so we had the baby on a drunken night together. What's she so after me for?
Jeez. Yeah. I mean, there's like literally like thousands of Below Deck babies in Fort Lauderdale, you know.
Tons of them. Yeah, we actually, that was a storyline on, wasn't it Sailing, where the guy impregnated that
girl?
Well,
there was, yeah, there was Danny and what he, whatever his fucking
that
name was.
That awful guy whose mom made him Jacques take a, like, whose mom made him take a pregnancy test or JP. Whatever. Yeah, then, JP. Ugh, gross.
Yeah. For a while though, we had a big run of like, I've got a kid. Actually, last season on Below Deck, we had that guy. He's like, I got a kid in Alaska, and I've got bad reception. I can't text her. I was like, oh, my God, another one. Another kid lost at sea or in a faraway land.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so basically Joe and Carrie are flirting. So now Nathan and Gail are talking about, like, whether or not Joe's going to seal the deal with Carrie. And she's like, she's too small for him. And he's like, you think? She's like, yeah, I think she'll fall for it because she's horny, but we're all horny out here. And he goes, well, now you have to wait.
You get to wait.
And they're just basically being flirty at the club.
And he tells us, he's like, the way I am with Gail right now, it's actually surprising me because I'm not the kind of person that settles. I'm not Joe, to be honest, but I do like her. You're not like Joe. And stop trying to be like the fucking alpha. I hate when guys do that. They're like, oh, wow, that guy acts way more slutty and studly than me. I want to be just like that, you know? Yeah. You don't have to force yourself to be like that, but he's going to try. And he's like, but I, you know, I'm like Joe, to be honest, but I really do like her. Gail's the exception.
Yeah. So now they all are done at the clubs. So they all pile into their vans and Joe and Nathan are in the back seat and they're drunk and they're having fun. And Joe's like,
bro, should I just book it now? Should I book a flight? It's on the Ryanair. It's like 16 quid. Let's do it. I'm going to Dublin.
So he like books this flight. It's like fun. Like, oh my God, Joe's coming to Dublin. But Gail is like, this is weird because Nathan told me we were going to Prague. He was going to come with me to Prague after the charter season. And now it looks like he's going to be hosting Joe in Dublin.
Yeah, Nathan's just sitting there smiling. And she's like, Nathan told me he wants to travel a bit after the season. And I'm just the dickhead in the dark over here. Think we had all these plans when really, these were just plans to be scribbled over. So she gets really upset about it. And then Aisha's like, wait, is that a problem? Did you know that he was going to do that? And she's like, well, he booked flights before I did, so that's my fault, I guess. And she's like, wait a minute, but you didn't even get thought about.
There's nothing wrong with Joe going, but I think he should have talked to you about the plans.
And Gail's like, I can't expect anything from anyone, that's it.
And he's like, do you feel upset because you're expecting something from Nathan and then he might not give it to you? Or are you upset because you feel like you're still processing a breakup? Maybe you're upset because you just realized that your relationship with Nathan is fleeting and ephemeral, and after the season's over, you guys have nothing much like your previous relationship. And really, if you look at it, all your relationships haven't been real at all because you have deep psychological issues. Is it that?
Why are you crying, girl? Why are you crying? So Gail's crying and Aisha's like, all right, I see that you're crying. Now listen, some people enjoy being alone forever.
And it might be a very fun path for you to go down. Listen, Old Maid's a fun card game. It could also be a fun life to live for you, all right? Now, if you want to feel better, just reach into the next fan and say, Ellie, you're not on service for the next charter. Let me just watch a spiral.
Okay, Gail, now that we're back on the yacht, let's come over here to this railing. Now look over there. You see that little plastic bag that someone threw in the ocean? That's you, alone and floating along, forgotten about and just considered trash. Do you want to cry now? Let it out.
So Gail cries, and she's like, oh, stop, it's actually hitting me harder. I've tried to hold it in, but it's been so hard. Every day breaks my heart. Okay, okay.
I'm like, you're drunk.
Like,
okay.
Let's do this on a non-drunken night so I can actually feel for you, because I can't on a drunken, like, oh, my feelings on a drunken night. Now that said,
listen, it sucks.
I guess she's just still hurting from her relationship or whatever, but I don't know. If Nathan really is like, fuck that, I'm going with this guy instead of you, then I would be pissed, but.
Yeah, I mean, I think it sucks in Gail's situation that she's like, oh, you're, like, this is a trigger for her. So, you know, her first thought was like, oh, okay, you don't even consider me. You're just going to go off and make plans with this guy who's being a dick to me, and you invite him to Dublin. You don't invite me to Dublin. And I thought we had a plan and, like, not even a consideration. So I understand why she's crying. But when she was like, every day it breaks my heart, I was like, okay, this may be drunkenness too.
I think the drunkenness just mixes in with it, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Well, she's so cute too, Gail. I mean,
I know, Gail. Sweet,
don't,
sweet
don't
Gail.
Don't make Gail cry.
Don't make Gail cry.
You dumb, dumb person.
Fuck face. All right, everyone. Thank you for being here for this very fun bonus episode of Blue Dick. We always appreciate you, and we will be back next week with another bonus episode. So thanks for being here. We'll catch you on the next one.
And bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Aaron McNicholas,
she don't miss no trickolas.
Jamie,
she has no last namey.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Let's get feely with Maggie Sheely.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
Cast a Spell with Shannon Spellman.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
She struck him with her motor vehicle. She had been under the influence, and then she left him there.
In January 2022, local woman Karen Reed was implicated in the mysterious death of her boyfriend, Boston police officer John O'Keefe. It was alleged that after an innocent night out for drinks with friends, Karen and John got into a lover's quarrel en route to the next location. What happens next depends on who you ask. Was it a crime of passion?
If you believe the prosecution, it's because the evidence was so compelling. This was clearly an intentional act. And his cause of death was blunt force trauma with hypothermia.
Or a corrupt police cover-up.
If you believe the defense theory, however, this was all a cover-up to prevent one of their own from going down.
Everyone had an opinion. And after the 10-week trial, the jury could not come to a unanimous decision.
to end in a mistrial. It's just a confirmation of just how complicated this case is.
Law and Crime presents the most in-depth analysis to date of the sensational case in Karen. You can listen to Karen exclusively with Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify.